Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Love espresso, drip coffee, and cold brew? With the Ninja Lux Cafe, if you can crave it, you can brew it. Espresso? Balanced. Drip coffee? Rich. Cold brew? In a flash. With Barista Assist technology, you brew with no stress and no guesswork. And make perfect silky microfoam hands-free from dairy or plant-based milks. Bring the coffee house home and unlock your favorites with the Ninja Lux Cafe.
This is a podcast from Minute Media.
Welcome, Red Sox fans. Here are the Bastards of Boston Baseball.
Welcome, everyone. The Bastards are back for what I guess you could call an early week edition of the podcast. We are brought to you in part by the Minute Media Podcast Network. The Red Sox wrapped up the final series of the year with the Washington Nationals sweeping them 3-0. They have officially clinched the number one seed in the wild card game that will be hosted Tuesday night at Fenway Park. Quick disclaimer, as always, for any first-time listeners, this is not a homer podcast. We call it how we see it. When the Red Sox are dominating, we will celebrate that. When they are getting destroyed, we will be critical and at times savagely blunt. If you are easily offended, press the stop button immediately. But for those who embrace it, let's get rolling. I am Terry Cushman coming to you from Lewiston, Maine. You can harass me on Twitter at CushmanMLB. You can find the podcast account on Twitter at Bastards_Boston. Jason Kelly not with us tonight, so Charlie Smith and I will hold down the fort, talk about the weekend, and give our wild card predictions. Charlie's coming to us from the city of Providence, Rhode Island. How are you, Charlie?
I'm feeling really good, man. I said a couple days ago, we don't want a sweep. We want it and we need it. And it got a lot of chit chat on Twitter. We got the 3 games. We needed the 3 games. We got it done. I was hoping that we were going to get a minimum of 3 wins out of the last 6. We ended up getting 4. And I'm happy. I'm really content. Super pumped.
I didn't give a prediction on this series. I didn't want to. I was really extremely frustrated after the Baltimore series. For those who did listen to the last show, it was mostly just me venting, Andrew trying to, you know, calm things down a little bit, and Charlie getting your digs in when you gave them. But we swept this series, and game one was probably the least stressful. It was scoreless, and then we put up 4 runs in 1 inning. 3 of them on a Hunter Renfro home run. And the other 2 games, extremely stressful. I thought Cora's management, which we'll get into in a little bit, of the pitching was pretty suspect. A lot of bad decisions got made. And then today we were getting, on our way to getting buried, we were down 5-1 and then staged an epic comeback in the later innings. So stressful series. I thought for sure. Did you think we were going to game 163 at a minimum?
No.
You didn't?
No. I thought when we were down 5-1, they pulled Chris Sale in this game in the 3rd inning. I mean, I really wanted to believe we were going to make it close, but it just given the fact that we didn't do that well in game two towards the end, we did fine to start, but then we fell apart towards the end. But now we're falling apart, not in the sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth inning. We're falling apart in the third inning. So there's a whole another three innings of theatrics and excitement that we're potentially about to witness. I didn't feel very good about it. I'll say this much. If I had to face the Yankees or the Blue Jays, I'm happy we're facing the Yankees. I wanted no part of Toronto. Absolutely no part.
Well, if we lost today's game, then we do go to game 163. So to play the Blue Jays and then winner plays the Yankees, as it turned right out. I thought we were destined for it, but luckily we averted it and suddenly we're the one seed. So
incredible.
Yeah, it was the most stressful series in a long time. So getting it out of the way.
Autumn is in the air. The pumpkins are in the patch, and our friends at Manscaped are here to make sure you don't carve your pants pumpkins when you're grooming, if you know what I'm saying. Make sure you're keeping things fresh this fall with the leaders in male grooming and their brand new fourth generation performance package. Boys, get ready for a cuffing season like no other. Ready to take the leap into fall with Manscaped? Join the 2 million men worldwide using Manscaped by going to manscaped.com for 20% off plus free shipping with the code FANSIDED20. Seal the deal with Manscaped's liquid formulations, the Crop Preserver Ball Deodorant. Everyone knows pumpkin spice lattes and ball deodorant go hand in hand. Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code FANSIDED20 at manscaped.com. That's 20% off plus free shipping with the code FANSIDED20 at manscaped.com. Make your balls a priority this fall. Choose Manscaped. Your balls will thank you.
Or your pumpkins, apparently, as in the first paragraph.
Apparently so.
I've never heard of testicles referred to as pumpkins, but
it's 2021.
It's embrace autumn the change. And it's pumpkin season. So that's what they came up with. All right. So the most annoying part of the weekend for me, it really was Alex Cora's management. Tanner Houck was pitching a perfect game. 15 guys up, 15 guys down. Nobody touched first base. Nobody touched it. Nobody breathed on it. No one was out there. And I'm thinking, the bullpen's been pretty shaky. It's been absolutely shaky. And Cora told the beat writers before the game that he had sent a text message to all the starting pitchers, Nick Pivetta, Eduardo Rodriguez, Nathan Eovaldi, to wear their spikes. So when I'm hearing that, I'm like relieved. I'm like, okay. He's going outside the box this game. He is not messing around. And then I get that Tanner Houck has problems with the third time through the order. But if he's dealing, eventually he's going to have to pitch a sixth inning versus right, a guy we trust very little, as it turned out. So he gets lifted after pitching a perfect game. I'm not saying let him pitch to the eighth, but give him the sixth inning. Just take one more inning out of the equation so we don't have to sweat it out. But he gets taken right out. Garrett Richards in. That was a very uneventful inning. He gets through it. And then it gets dicey. On his fourth straight day, he pitched the previous three games. Ryan Brazier gets brought in the game. Ryan Brazier gets brought into the game for his fourth straight day of pitching. And it wasn't pretty. The bases were loaded. The inning was going sideways. And he very fortunately got out of it. Next inning, Adam Ottavino comes in. Doesn't look good at all. It was his third straight day pitching. So one less day in a row than Brazier. But still, heavily taxed. Hasn't been pitching well anyway. Ottavino comes into the game. I'm like, if you want to put Eovaldi in there, despite him being the pitcher on Tuesday, just do it. If he hasn't pitched a side session, that inning or two of work would be his side session anyway. And then he right goes into Tuesday essentially on normal rest. But we had to sit through Ottavino. I can't remember how many outs he got. It was at least one, and then the bases were loaded. And then they got a sac fly off of Soto hit that, which thank goodness he didn't do hardly any damage to us outside of that. And right, it was a poorly managed game that could have easily been lost. And if we do go to game 163 against the Blue Jays, adios. They would have tattooed us. They absolutely would have tattooed us.
I want to double back on that. When you asked me earlier, and I think I might have misspoken. Did you ask me if I thought we were going to game 163, correct?
Yes.
And I said no.
You said no.
I meant to say yes.
Okay.
Because I did not think we were going to win that game when we were down 5-1. So I misspoke, because what I thought was, oh my God, if we're going here, this is not going to end well. Because truthfully, I do want to face New York. I want no part of Toronto. And now, thank God, it's not even a part of the picture anymore. That's a huge crisis averted. But absolutely, I'm aligned with you on that one.
Yeah, and I just don't know what Alex Cora really was thinking. I'm just getting more and more annoyed with him. I didn't really have any problems with him in 2018 or 19. And by the end of 2019, it didn't matter anyway. I mean, Sale got shut down. Price got shut down. It just wasn't a good year. We had no bullpen. And
my thing is, you know that you already touched up on the fact that eventually he's going to have to hit the sixth inning and whatnot. He has the capability. You haven't even thrown 60 pitches yet. You're throwing a perfect game. We know you're not going to throw up another perfect four innings. What would it have hurt to throw another 30 pitches, throw another inning out there? Why not? An inning plus, 6 1/3, 6 2/3, 7 innings. Then you don't have to see Brazier, because Brazier did pitch 4 games, but to be honest, one of the games, he only threw a couple pitches. Like it was like tossing. So he did have 4 in a row. Ottavino did have three straight appearances. What frustrates me about the Ottavino play was Ottavino's allowed a minimum of 1 run in 4 of his last 5 appearances now. And I feel like it's like the, I forgot his name. I couldn't stand him last year. What was the name of that reliever?
Matt Hall.
Matt Hall, that dummy. It was like the Matt Hall effect. Like when Matt Hall came in, you knew you were going to get at least 1 run allowed. That's what it started to feel like with Ottavino coming in. It's the level of consistency is gone. I don't know. Like if I had to put a percentage on trusting Ottavino, it's at like 25-30%. I don't feel that warm and fuzzy about Ottavino like I did in the first half of the year, like I did about a lot of the guys that were on this team. But they managed to power through. It's just not consistent at the start of the game and at the end of the game. And it truly is a potpourri buckshot bullpen. You don't know who's pitching the eighth, who's going before that, and then who's closing out games. You've had Robles closing, Ottavino closing, you've got Barnes closing. Sometimes you're trying to get Darwin's in to do it, but there's no method to it. It's completely confusing. And if you're an opposing team, you're probably thinking to yourself, this team doesn't know what's going on. At the same time, we also don't know who to plan for. We don't know who's going to be closing this out. We don't know who the first option is out of the rotation. Are they going to go with Ottavino in the sixth? Are they going Matt Barnes out of this? You have no idea. I don't know. Gun to our heads, nobody knows. I don't even think Alex Cora knows right now. That's what's crazy about it.
It's extremely stressful. And Ottavino gets tuned up against the Yankees, and he gets tuned up against the Rays and all the divisional guys. And you're going to have the Yankees and then hopefully the Rays after that, if we find a way to win that game. And we're going to get to that in the second part of the show. But he's just a guy I don't want to see for quite a while, unless we have a big lead. Then, okay, you know, try it, I guess. But yeah, so wasn't thrilled with game two. We got the win. And then today, as you said, Chris Sale, oh my goodness. 3 1/3, 3 2/3, something like that.
No, he two and a third. He threw over 60 pitches. He could not get out of the third inning. He walked a run in on 4 straight, and then that was it. That was the hook. And that, I mean, at that point, you're only down a couple, but the issue is, you've got power bats coming up. You can't afford to pull these guys out. Soto struck out in the third inning. Thank God. Thank the Lord. Zimmerman got walked on 4 straight pitches. Sawman comes in and gets a double play ball on his second pitch. Like, you can't be more accidentally clutch than that. The first person out of the bullpen to get into a double play, who throws the best splitter? It's probably Sawman, right?
Yeah.
You're praying that you get a double play ball. You need a double play ball, or this game is completely getting out of hand. You could potentially, instead of 2-1, it could, or 2-0, it could be 5-0. If he doesn't throw that pitch, he's not that person. It's not going to be Sawman coming in. But you needed a double play ball. You have to get some guy who can throw a split or a curveball. You had to. You had no choice. So, oh God, I mean, it was stressful. Bases loaded, third inning. You're pulling Chris Sale out. You're like, all right, Toronto, here we come. Like,
yeah.
That's literally what I said. Third inning. Not even the third inning. Like,
yeah, no, it was the third inning. One out into the third inning. But yeah.
Yeah.
And to be honest with you, I hated the move to Sawamura because he's just been so bad for the month of September. And he came into that Yankees game that you and I went to, and we were getting buried, so it didn't matter that he came in. And he pitched, I think, 2 1/3, and actually looked okay. But I just figured that was the exception, and I didn't like the move today, but admittedly, second pitch, got the double play, which is what we needed. And then Cora brought him out again. I'm like, great. And he did get out of the inning. But with Chris Sale, I mean, we've debated on previous shows with both crews on who would pitch the wild card game.
Well, yeah.
And the midweek show was really big on Chris Sale, and they'd gone back and forth. And I think Andrew on the last show that he was on said, you know what, I think I would prefer Chris Sale. And it's hard for me to really make an argument, but seeing what we saw today, I'm thinking, thank goodness it's Eovaldi, and that it apparently was always going to be Eovaldi.
Yeah, I think you have to go with the guy who's more consistent. Back to that, when we saw Sawamura come in, he pitched over two innings for, I think, the first time this year. He hadn't done that before, but it was because we were so desperate because we couldn't do anything. Like, Eovaldi had one of his worst performances of the season, and that was actually the last time that he pitched before today. So we hadn't seen Sawman in about a week.
It was 9 days, actually.
Yeah, you know, like, that's crazy. So he's had more than enough time to rest. If he needed to throw 40 pitches to get to like the double play, I don't care how many pitches you have to throw. You have to preserve the score right now. At this point, you're down two. You don't want to make it 6 or 5 or 4. So I think they just went with who's the healthiest, who's got the most, you know, juice in the tank here. It's been a whirlwind of emotion for fans.
And today, it was really the Rafi Devers show. Like, if it weren't for him, we probably lose this game. He had that clutch, I think it was a two-run shot there in the ninth inning because we were tied. So that was a two-run shot, and it kind of gave us a little bit of a buffer. I mean, we hadn't led all day, so suddenly we go up by two and we just need three more outs. And Nick Pivetta, by the way, oh my goodness, looked great. And I had no idea how that was going to go. I didn't really have a problem with it because what were the options at that point? So it worked out pretty well to have Pivetta close it out. But we weren't doing anything, though. You know, we'd scored one run in the fourth to bring us back within a run. And then the next inning, Washington puts up another three runs, and it was just back and forth. And Alex Verdugo gets caught in a rundown on the bases, tried to go for second on a play that was never going to be a double. And you just need to get some momentum going. And at that point, if that wasn't game 162 and we didn't have a podcast tonight, I'm just not watching the rest of the game. If it was just another game, I'm not watching the end of it because I'm just so annoyed that we're playing so bad in a game that's huge. And we hadn't learned from our mistakes. So I was annoyed with that. And then JD Martinez, how the hell does this happen? He's jogging from the dugout to go take a spot in right field. And as he's running across the diamond, jogging across the diamond, he trips over second base and sprains his ankle. How does he not know there's a base there?
Unbelievable.
And I'm like, what else could go wrong? Like, at that point, I was like, there's no way we're recovering from this. And thank goodness we did. But it was a stressful series, and I felt like we were going to lose game two by the time we got halfway through it. I didn't think we were going to come back today. And despite getting the sweep that we desperately needed, I'm still not feeling great about the next couple of days and the next week. And Tampa throttled the Yankees all weekend. They lost today. It was scoreless until literally the bottom of the ninth inning. And then the Yankees scored the only one run of the game on a Aaron Judge base hit. But
in the ninth inning,
yeah.
It was insane.
It was the walk-off, basically. So
you got it.
The Rays look really good. And they're doing their jobs, and they're right where they need to be to start this playoff run. And
yeah,
Yankees are a little scary as well. So yeah. So anyway, any other thoughts on today?
What made me the most nervous about today was you're not facing Max Scherzer, you're not facing Steven Strasburg. You faced a kid who made his major league debut and he struck out 9 of you guys. Like, his line in 5 1/3, 2 runs on 6 hits, 3 walks, 9 strikeouts, and 1 home run. And that was the Devers shot in the 4th, and that was a rocket. It's actually kind of funny because Devers kind of lost his balance on that first one. But outside of that, only 1 run in 5 1/3. If I'm Washington right now and I just got that for a sample, I'm pumped. Because that 5 1/3, 9 strikeouts against the Red Sox, and none of those strikeouts were against pitchers that were hitting. So you're going to be looking real good. And here's the thing. Who's a better pitcher? Gerrit Cole? Or you want it on, you know? So just to kind of put into perspective, I'm not feeling good about it either. I'm super thrilled that we get to play in the wild card game. But I also have to be realistic here. This is not going to be fun. It's going to be real hard. This is going to be our essentially, you know, game 163 against the Yankees, because the winner of this one is going to move on. The loser goes home packing. So it's... is it all going to be worth it? I said earlier, if we can get to the wild card game, that's an achievement. But a couple other folks said, if you can't at least get to the championship series, this year was a bust. No one thought the Red Sox were going to be good this year. No one had the Red Sox making the playoffs. I think from our group, who had the Red Sox making the playoffs? One person?
Andrew had us making, but losing the wild card, I think.
There you go.
Yeah.
So one person. There have been so many other Cinderellas this season. If JD Martinez is able to play, that's going to be a huge boost. If he's not, that's going to be real hard to overcome. And it's not going to matter who you have in there. It's not JD Martinez. JD Martinez needs to be there. I'm still nervous. And as far as today went, you cannot depend on one player for all the magic. Devers had a solo shot, 2-run shot, an RBI single. Schwarber got to score twice on 2 different Devers hitting onslaught attacks. You can't survive on that. I mean, the final score of the game was 7-5. Devers did half the damage. You need to have your starter go 5-6 innings. At the first moment of any hiccups, any issues, you gotta have 2 guys warming up in the bullpen. I don't give a damn. You cannot play against the Yankees the way that you played against Washington. You need to have like a Tanner Houck performance, a 5+, no runs allowed. And Eovaldi in there, even though he threw up a clunker, a complete dud against the Yankees when we went to go see him, I still have faith in Nate Eovaldi over anybody else in that rotation in a wild card game. Because when the pressure is on, you want the guy who's been there all year long.
Big game, Nate. Yeah, and I like Rodriguez in those situations, but definitely for this one wild card game, I would put Eovaldi in that spot. And the key for him might be his curveball, because he was featuring that in his last start. and it was pretty effective. And I don't think he did feature it much in that one start against the Yankees. So perhaps incorporating that in there will help keep some of these guys off balance a little bit. What we need to see from our lineup, though, and I'm not convinced it's going to happen, we need these guys to stop trying to be all or nothing hitters and just string together some hits. Just string together some base hits, drive up their anxiety, create some nervous moments for them, and just play good old-fashioned baseball.
Small ball.
With some good contact hitting. If you go all or nothing, you're going to score two runs and lose the game. Another go ahead.
I was going to say, and I apologize for cutting you off. What was this? Wasn't it against Baltimore where we were playing just a ton of small ball singles and doubles and roping balls down the line? And I think we only had three home runs against Baltimore for that whole series, and we just absolutely slashed Baltimore.
Yeah, that was. And we scored, I think, 25 runs in the whole series. And
it was insane.
Yeah. Yep. And
but that is what we need. Small ball. Have fun. Don't worry about mashing. Just get on base. Let the next guy get you in. Do your job. Get on base. That's it.
That's what we need. And Gerrit Cole, I think what some teams have started to figure out on him, because he hasn't looked great. And the one game against us, Pivetta basically outdueled him. It wasn't until late in the game when Stanton buried us. Excuse me. And with Gerrit Cole on the mound, I want our lineup to be patient, because they can probably work some walks. A lot of those swinging strikes that Gerrit Cole gets aren't really strikes if they'll lay off of them. You know, they flirt with the strike zone a little bit, but, you know, by the time they're caught, they're not strikes, they're balls. And I think that could proved to be pretty successful in scoring some early runs on the Yankees. Again, I don't feel good. Ever since that skid started in early August, we haven't really righted the ship. We did have a 7-game winning streak in there, and that was kind of nice, but then we kind of started to sputter again. So many other teams look better than us right now, and here's another thing, too. I was just thinking about this before we came on. Who do you want in that wild card game, Kyle Schwarber or Bobby Dalbec?
Kyle Schwarber.
Really? Because I'm like, I just like the way Dalbec's been playing lately, just with the patience in the batter's box.
You know, here's the thing. I'm torn. So I get where you're coming from. Who would I want? Kyle Schwarber, because I think there's a higher probability of getting on base. Here's the issue with that. If I had a pinch hit between Kyle Schwarber and Bobby Dalbec, who would I want pinch hitting? I'd want Kyle Schwarber. So it's a question of, do I want to have the higher probability shot during the game, or in a moment where I need it the most, do I want to bring that bat in? That's the question. Where are we going to end up? Because there could be an inning where we need someone, runners at first and third, no outs. Who'd you rather have, Schwarber or Dalbec? I'd want the lefty in there. A little bit closer to first base, not as much time to travel. I also think Schwarber hits the ball a little bit better, higher probability of getting on base. You bring up a good point. I've been a Schwarber guy all year. Even when he wasn't in Boston, I liked him. Because I just don't like Bobby Dalbec coming off the bench. That's the other issue, too. So I'm 50-50. I could hear and respect a case for both. I would not be able to, I think, confidently say that I could justify having both coming off the bench. I'd probably want Schwarber if there was a pinch hit opportunity.
Well, it just comes to mind right now that perhaps because Jose Iglesias is not eligible at this point. His season is done as far as the Red Sox go, because they acquired him after September 1st or after August 31st, technically.
Right.
He won't be on the roster. So maybe, just maybe, that brings Kike into second and then maybe Schwarber in left, Verdugo in center, and maybe they both end up in the lineup. But a lot of this will also be dictated on just season numbers against Cole, you know, who hits him well and
exactly
and whatnot. But be interesting to see the lineup, and every inning past the fifth that you can get out of Nathan Eovaldi is huge, because there's less stress in the bullpen. I think we feel pretty good about Brazier at this point. He's had a good last week and a half, so that's a guy you can lean on. Garrett Richards has not looked super great, but still, I think I definitely trust him more than a guy like Barnes or even Ottavino in a Yankees series. So Pivetta could also come out of the bullpen again as well, because he's not starting game one. So at the earliest, he would start game two, which would be on Saturday. But that's probably not going to happen, because if Eovaldi is pitching on Tuesday in the wild card game, regular rest for him would be Sunday rather. So I guess you can't rule out Pivetta for game two if we do win it. But he pitches right. Very well against the Rays, Pivetta does, so it wouldn't surprise me either way.
So I'm taking a look at it right now. Kyle Schwarber career against Garrett Cole is 3-for-17 with 1 RBI and 6 strikeouts, 176. Bobby Dalbec is 0-for-4 with a pair of strikeouts and has done nothing. The best hitter against Cole on the Red Sox is actually Danny Santana, who went 9-for-14 career, followed by Jaron Duran, who's 2-for-4 career against him. Kike Hernandez is really the next best guy, who's 5-for-11 against him with a home run against him as well. JD does not do that well against him. Rafi Devers does not that great. He is a premier pitcher, so you have to weigh that too. Schwarber, who doesn't strike out that much, or Dalbec, who could very well strike out 3 times out of 4 at-bats against Garrett Cole.
I think, like I was sort of alluding to earlier, is they're going to have to be patient and in some ways let Garrett Cole beat himself a little bit.
And absolutely.
In the one game we went to, which was a couple of Fridays ago, Kike worked a couple of walks as well that night. So hopefully he'll continue to see the ball well and get on base either way, whether it's a hit or a walk. It's stressful. It is. And Bogaerts didn't have a good series, so he's kind of coming into the wild card game a bit cold. So hopefully he finds a little bit of offense. JD Martinez, Cora said he's not certain for the wild card game and that they're going to look at him tomorrow because he does have an ankle sprain. And he did, though, notably, when they were looking at him immediately after he did it, I think he did finish out the inning in right field. So if you want to be an optimist, maybe that's a sign that it's not a serious ankle sprain. But I don't see how – I mean, DHing should be fairly reasonable, I would think. I'd be stunned if he's not the DH.
If he's not the DH, the injury's a lot worse than we were told.
Yeah.
There's you have to have your big guns there. If you don't, you're not being honest with all of us, and there's something else going on. And it's not the plantar fasciitis thing that, you know, is gonna extend his contract. If he doesn't play, I'm much more worried.
You would think he would wanna play at all costs, though, because the month of October can boost your value. Nathan Eovaldi got $68 million because of 3 starts
one real one, and it was in the bullpen.
Yeah, well, he did have a decent game against the Astros. He kind of walked the tightrope a little, but we ended up winning it. But so we've seen postseasons boost players' value, so you would think he would want to be a part of it and hopefully extend our postseason for as long as possible in case he does decide to opt out and get one more 3 or 4 year deal, whatever his market ends up being. But We've never had to suffer through a wild card game. We were either first or last, it seems like, in the standings. So it wasn't pretty, but I hope this team shows up, because Yankee fans on Twitter are if they beat us, they're gonna act like they just won Game 7 of the ALCS against us.
Yeah. Yep. It's gonna be pretty special. But let's be honest, if we win, we're also, either team that wins, they're going to do the same thing. It's going to be a jubilation feeling of just, this is the World Series to some fans. The Red Sox facing the Yankees just to get into the dance. Like, this is just to general admission. And I would be lying if I said that I wouldn't be super ecstatic and excited to, you know, see the Yankees go down. You know, like, this is just what we've come to enjoy the most as Red Sox fans, is rivalry matches of importance at the end of the season. It's one team or bust. And if there's one team I want to face at the end of the year that's important, I want to see the Yankees play more than any other team against the Red Sox.
And even though we've never played a wild card game, this will be the Yankees' fourth wild card game, if I'm not mistaken. They got beat by the Astros in 2015. 2016, they missed. And then in 2017, 2018, they ended up playing Oakland and beating them both times. So, and a lot of the guys currently on their staff were at least on their staff in 2018, and some of them 2017 as well. So they've experienced this. They've thrived in that game. And we're this clumsy, error-prone team that finds all kinds of ways to make things difficult anyway, and sometimes get beat by ourselves. So I don't know what to say, but it's a big game. And if you get to the ALDS, then that's, I guess, a successful season based on our expectations preseason.
Absolutely. I thought we were going to be talking about other teams in the playoffs. I didn't think the Red Sox had a chance. We start off the season 0-3. So when you look at it, we actually finished the season off 25 games above 500 after that opening BS series. We just didn't show up. And I would be lying if I said I wasn't a little bit nervous about the last series. My expectation was, you got to win a minimum of 3 out of 6, 3-3. You're probably going to play in game 163. I don't know if there's any way around that, because Seattle's starting to heat up. Oakland cooled off significantly. Toronto was on fire. And the Yankees were the Yankees. I mean, what more could you ask for at this point? You know, this is it. Show us that this isn't a joke. Show us. That's it.
So let's do it. Let's give our predictions, our official wild card predictions. Tuesday night, who you picking?
It's a loaded question. Here's why I say that. Is JD Martinez playing?
We won't know until tomorrow.
Okay. Garrett Cole goes 6 1/3. And I got this right. Well, half right when we were at Fenway. Garrett Cole goes 6 1/3, 6 2/3. Allows one run on 4 hits, walks 2, strikes out 8. 6 1/3, 1 run on 4 hits, 2 walks, 8 strikeouts. Nate Eovaldi goes 6 innings, allows 2 runs on 5 hits, 1 walk, 7 strikeouts. So 2 runs, 5 hits, a walk, 7 strikeouts, 6 innings. Just does a little bit worse. Bullpens come in. each bullpen does a little bit of work, gets worked a little bit too. And I believe my final score was 4-3 when you and I went to that game. I'm going to say the Sox pull it out because I need this win, baby. I need this win. And I'm going to pray that JD comes in and the Sox end up winning this game either 4-3 or 5-3. 4-3 or 5-4. How about you?
I'm not going to get quite as in depth with the pitching lines, but I'm going to say Nathan Eovaldi goes 7 innings of 2-run ball.
There we go. We're matched there.
And the Red Sox pull it out probably by a score similar to yours, 5-3, 5-2, I would say.
All right.
I think Eovaldi showing up. And Cole doesn't have – I don't think he has the greatest numbers at Fenway Park. I mean, we were getting to him a couple Saturdays ago, and you know, Nick Pivetta, I think, had the lead by the time he left the game. And he pitched at Fenway with the Astros 2018. We got the win that night as well. I think that was game two of the LCS. And I don't feel great about it. I'm just going to say that. I would be lying if I sat here and said I was supremely confident, but
sure.
I think the Red Sox could show up, and I think having home field will be big, especially not having that short porch in right field. And they're going to have to find a way to tame Stanton, who's been on fire lately. And yep. I would love it if the game ended on either a Ryan Brazier or Nick Pivetta strikeout of Giancarlo Stanton. And send them home on that. And we'll be in Tampa, I think, on Friday night if all that comes to fruition. And I won't spoil my predictions for that if we are fortunate enough to make predictions on that series. But that's kind of how I see it going.
I'm with you. I'm a little nervous, but I want to be optimistic. I'm a Red Sox fan. You're a Red Sox fan. We want this team to do well. To your point, Gerrit Cole does not do well against the Red Sox. Against the Red Sox just this year, in four games, he's had one complete game. He's 2-2 with an ERA at almost 5. 12 earned runs of the 13 allowed, 22 innings, 24 hits, 5 home runs allowed, 9 walks, 31 strikeouts. Not pleasant. At Fenway Park, he's had 3 starts. His ERA is 6.19.
At Fenway? That's his ERA?
At Fenway Park, with a 1-2 record, he's allowed 12 runs, 11 of which were earned on 19 hits in 16 innings in 3 games. It's an average of 5 1/3 innings per game. 5 bombs, 7 walks, 20 strikeouts. He gets lit up at Fenway Park, and it would not be a surprise if, you know, I could be wrong that each of them allowed 2 runs. Wouldn't that be marvelous if Gerrit Cole gets cracked for 7, like Eovaldi got cracked in the performance before that? That would have been poetic justice. You know, you owned our guy, and then we owned your guy when it mattered. You know? So I'm going to remain patient. I'm going to remain calm. But you know what? I'm actually excited. I'm excited for those that went to that game the Friday that we saw it. For those that get to watch this game as well, it's going to be a do-over. And Eovaldi wants it more than literally everybody, because he needs this and he wants this. If you know him, I mean, I bet the grunts are going to be heard in Wisconsin from Eovaldi on the mound. It's going to be, you're going to have to mute the TVs, kids. It's going to be aggressive.
I didn't know Cole's numbers were quite that bad, but I just knew that it wasn't one of his better ballparks. Let's put it that way. So Evaldi had the one bad outing against the Yankees, but Cole's had other bad ones in recent starts. So I'd be more nervous about him if I were Yankees fans. And I hope more than anything Yankees fans are taking that last game against Nathan Evaldi, where they put up I think it was 5 or 6 runs by the time he came out. I hope they take that for granted and then, you know, get shut down. That would be perfect. But a big game isn't going to rattle Nate Evaldi. We know that.
Right. Yeah. It's going to be an awesome finish. And I mean, I hope we win, but I mean, this team has a lot to be proud of. We've done some great work. We certainly slowed down and things may have not gone according to plan the whole year, but you know what? This team has a lot to look forward to. The future is very bright here in Boston. I'm really liking some of the players that we have had the opportunity to see. They're young. They're still very, very green, but you know, we got players like Tristan Casas knocking on the door. He's coming. And it's going to be exciting. So I'm staying super patient for that. I'm really excited.
Next year, hopefully we compete for a division win and not have to sweat it out like this. I hope this is the last time in quite a while we end up playing a wild card game. But who knows even what the format will be next year if our terrible commissioner gets his way. So on that note, we will wrap. And we'll be back on Tuesday night to either celebrate or cry about how the night went. And so give us, 48 hours from now, we'll be back recording. Everybody have a good start to your work week. Take care.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Weight loss solutions are not one size fits all. Hers makes it simpler to get started and stick with a weight loss plan backed by expert guided online care that puts your weight loss goals first. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits start at just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you. With 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou to access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou, forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at forhers.com. Apply.